Okay, well, this is exciting. Hey, welcome everybody, and pleased to have you with us here today. This is our inaugural episode, so we're going to have some fun with it. It's raw, it's uncut, but this is TrueNAS Tech Talk, or we're going to refer to it as T3, I think. I'm Chris, and joining
me, I'm Chris.
So that's not going to be confusing at all. Try and keep up, please. But no, we're looking forward to getting this show launched and out in your eager viewing eyes and being able to enjoy us talking about just nerd stuff, TrueNAS, tech, all that good stuff. It's going to be fun. But let's talk a little bit about it first and introduce ourselves for those who don't know. So I'll just go ahead and get started. I'm Chris Moore. I'm the SVP of Engineering here at IX Systems. But don't let the title fool you. I'm actually an okay guy. Former co-host of BSD Now many, many years ago, if you may recall that episode or those episodes. Gosh, what else? Went to a lot of BSD conferences, went to a lot of Linux conferences, given a lot of talks over the years. I'm pretty active on Reddit and the forums, interacting with people using TrueNAS, and I'm just an all-around geek. So I have a lot of fun with it. Without further ado, Chris, tell us about the Honey Badger.
And I am Chris Parrott, and as Chris Moore says, you might know me as Honey Badger on the TrueNAS forums. I've been using TrueNAS for over 10 years, using ZFS itself for even longer than that. Chris and his team actually reached out to me through the forums to say, hey, you seem pretty good and pretty interested in this TrueNAS stuff. Would you like to actually come work for us and do it as a day job? So I'm really happy to be here working at IX and happy to be here with you today, Chris.
No, it's excellent. And you're a fixture on the forums too. So again, don't be shy. If you watch this episode, go hop on the TrueNAS forums and you'll probably be able to get both of our attention on there. We're both pretty plugged in and try and keep a finger on the pulse and help out where we can with the community. Obviously, we have day jobs too, so we can't spend all day on the forums, but you know, interesting stuff pops up and I'd like to chime in and see if we can help people along. But let's talk a little bit about the show and format. As you can see, we're not doing highly stylized stuff. You know, I didn't have any intro music. I apologize. You just have to go straight to us talking. So bear with us. But that's part of the charm, right? We're just here to talk about things that we're interested in, about TrueNAS. We're going to be covering a bunch of different topics. We're hoping to do this weekly, so give or take, depending on schedules. But the topics we'll be covering, of course, TrueNAS, number one. So anything TrueNAS related, that's something that's going to be high on our list of stuff to talk about. Storage related, of course, just generic storage topics. That's always a lot of fun. And then apps, and how would TrueNAS scale? And everyone, it seems like running apps and doing all kinds of crazy stuff on their storage. We'll probably touch on that pretty frequently. And then technology, and I might even throw in some pop culture stuff too if I'm just interested in a cool new TV series or movie or show or whatever we happen to be doing at the time. Chris, anything on your side?
Yeah, it's not necessarily going to be limited to just TrueNAS things. If somebody's got an interesting topic in just the technology industry that's coming around, whether it's for, you know, security, something AI related, you know, somebody's got a really popular game out and you say, hey, can you guys make a game server that runs on TrueNAS for it? I mean, we've done that in the past. We'll probably do it again.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, that's how they got into FreeNAS back in the day, was because you could run Minecraft locally. Yeah. And how cool is that?
Absolutely.
I still run game servers at home. My kids every now and then fire up Terraria and we go spin up the app. Let's see, what was the last one we did?
Still got Pal World, I think, was one of the ones we jumped in on. I think I still have a Minecraft server running for my kids. So okay. It's still live now and they're, you know, hopefully they're not on it right now. They should be at school.
I hope so. I hope so. Oh, my kids, it's all about Roblox these days. I don't get it. Anyway, not my thing, but
I don't understand the Roblox thing. I mean, I played a lot of crazy games when I was younger, but Roblox, something about me, I just don't get it. It seems like cookie clicker, but on a bigger screen. I don't get it.
And honestly, I'm showing my age a little bit, but I never got into Minecraft either. It was just, I felt like my entire childhood was spent trying to imagine awesome graphics and cool, really powerful games. And then Minecraft felt like a step backwards. Like, oh great, those are the graphics we had when I was a kid that we didn't want to have anymore. Why do you guys enjoy this? This makes no sense.
That's the joke. We can have the most powerful, amazing hardware. I have a VR headset next to me, but there's nothing quite like those addicting, you know, flash games back in the day, you know, where you would just say, okay, one more round.
Anyway, okay, so yeah, so we're looking forward to, again, talking with folks every week. We may occasionally bring a guest in if we have somebody we want to talk to. That'll be fun. But another big thing about this show is we want to take the opportunity to answer questions from the audience. And I mean technical questions. You have questions about TrueNAS, about the vision for it or new features coming or even just how-tos, like we're happy to help try and answer those. I mean, you got us doing that on the forums. We'll try and take a handful of those every week and see if we can answer some questions. So the way you can submit your questions is sending an email over to t3@truenas.com. That's literally the letter T and then the number 3@truenas.com. You send your questions over there and we'll review that before every episode and see if there's any we can promote to the show and address live.
That sounds good. Okay. That email will go to myself and Chris. It'll go to Team Chris directly. We'll review them. We won't always have time to directly respond to you, but tune into our next week's podcast and we might answer your question right on the show.
And if we get a bunch, we may have a queue build up. So, be patient. If we don't address it immediately that week, it might just be coming in a future episode because we'll be keeping it in our show notes here and just address them as we have time. Especially exactly. If it's topical or related to something we're covering that week anyway. So
yeah, if it's a current events kind of thing, we'll segue into it pretty nicely. So with that in mind, what are we going to be talking about today?
Okay, so we have a few topics for today. So Electric Eel, we'll start there. Electric Eel is the next big release of TrueNAS Scale. That's going to be landing here soon. We are slated for launch next Tuesday, the 29th of October. That's still looking like a go. I'm expecting the final version of TrueNAS Scale Electric Eel, the .0, to be built sometime later today, most likely. Occasionally, we'll do it on a Saturday if we kick the build off late Friday night or something. But we're pretty much at the point where I could say it's about gone gold now. We're just doing our final polish and just QA passes to make sure things look good. But overall, we're pretty excited.
That's pretty great. I mean, we have close to 10,000 users in sort of the early access pool entirely. I've seen a lot of people that are really happy with the change to Docker, the fact that it's basically chopped, 10 to 15% off some of their idle CPU usage. They say, wow, I can see a measurable difference. Some of our more technical users who monitor their systems through like a kilowatt or another sort of power monitoring, they're saying, I'm actually measurably saving power by going from Dragonfish to Electric Eel.
We saved you power, and power is money. So, hey, that's not a bad update then if you can save a few bucks. But the other thing that surprised me is this version of the software has the RAID Z expansion. And I knew people wanted that, but I'm just surprised how many people have already started using it, even in the kind of beta and RC phase, which, hey, good for you. Awesome. We're glad to get feedback that it's working for you. Yeah. But I don't know, maybe I'm old school or I've always had access to more drives. So it hasn't been something I've personally needed.
Well, I mean, I've got a few rack mounts behind me. I don't power them on for the podcast because you wouldn't be able to hear a darn thing, but I'm definitely appreciative of those who are jumping right into this with both feet saying, hey, I've been waiting for RAID Z expansion for the longest time. I started off on, whether it was a 4-wide Z1 or a 6-wide Z2, and they're saying, well, now I've got an 8-bay chassis and I kind of had these two empty slots for the longest time. I'm finally able to just put a drive in there and they wait for the resilver and then they put a second one in there and it's expanding out. We've had some pretty long discussion threads on the forums talking about the complicated space accounting that happens and that is a bit of a challenge. So it's still something we're trying to work out. We might need to get a little bit more into the guts technically to figure out how we can make a really good representation. But with things like the inline compression as well in ZFS and the dynamic striping width, it does pose a bit of a challenge for us to say, hey, we have an exact perfect level of accuracy of how much more you can cram onto that server before you're going to want to add yet another drive to it.
Yeah, space reporting and accounting is just a difficult topic because you mentioned the inline compression. Don't forget you got block cloning, which is kind of like inline deduplication. You have the fast dedupe, which is experimental in this release. So now we're going to see more people turning that on. And it does make it a bit tricky on how we report all those values correctly to the UI in a way that's digestible and easily understood. But anyway, room for improvement. And I expect those to definitely get improved as future updates come out. Yeah. Okay, other topic. So Electric Eel's coming, excited for that. Another interesting thing, which I think a lot of folks will be curious to hear, is Fangtooth. That's the next release of TrueNAS. That's planned for April of next year. 25.04 is what version that will be. And work's already started for that release. I mean, we don't sit idly by just because Electric Eel's in the final stretch. We're already working on the next thing. A big piece that landed this last week was the first merge of Incus support landed. So Incus, for those who don't know, is the LXD fork. And we merged the backend pieces. So it's not in the UI yet if you go look at the nightly images, but coming soon. I mean, first things first, you got to get the backend in first and get the binary, which is there now. So we're excited to eventually turn that on. And what that'll give you is if you're coming from core, you'll have that Jails-like experience on Fangtooth, where you can go ahead and say, give me a Arch container or give me a Ubuntu container, or I don't know, what are the popular distros people would want to run on there? Debian would be the one I'd probably pick to play with.
I'm sure that even before we hit beta on Fangtooth, somebody will be in there with their own community-created script of how to spawn your Inkist containers and customize them.
I have no doubt.
Yeah, I love that our community is not afraid to just get in there and go, oh, hey, this is an extremely early, brand-new feature. Let's go play with it. I want to see what we can do. I want to be first on the curve to see what's coming new.
I will say our community, you guys are very creative. Guys and gals, not leaving anyone out, but very, very creative with some of the things you do on TrueNAS. Some of it makes us raise an eyebrow or two. Like, what are you doing and why?
I think there was one thread where my only response was to post that famous GIF of the Badger running away saying nope when somebody talked about taking four drives, slicing them into partitions, and doing three-way mirrors across four drives. I applaud your creativity, sir or madam, but I definitely won't be running that at home.
Absolutely. But hey, that's part of the beauty and power of open source and giving a product like this away for free is people can take it, customize. I mean, that's how innovation happens. You never know. It's like a lot of ideas in science, right? A lot of ideas and theories end up not being great, but then it's those rare, you know, gems that happen. And that's what makes it exciting to see what the next big thing is going to be.
Sometimes, like they say, it's not about why, it's about why not.
Sure, sure. And again, more power to you. Yeah. Okay, so next up, we want to talk about LLMs and TrueNAS. Oh my, what's going on here? You want to start off with us on this, Chris?
Yeah, so the large language models and trying to get some interpretive knowledge about how to use TrueNAS or how to use OpenCFS in general, we do have our own AI-powered search on our docs site, which is trying to give you sort of those technical questions and give you solid answers. The key with it is that our AI-powered searches, we've trained those on our own internal documentation, which we and our community and the rest of the IX and TrueNAS teams, both inside our company and out, we've given them a good bit of checking over to make sure that it's not going to give us too much in terms of like a hallucinated response. But we've seen some rather interesting speculation come out of the other language models, whether it's from Meta or ChatGPT, where it certainly has some unique takes on what you should do with a TrueNAS system. Whether it's telling you that features exist when they simply don't, or features don't exist when they do. It's not just a matter of being out of date. Certainly, the software changes as we go along, and we can't expect a LLM to be constantly keeping itself up to date based on, you know, our latest electric eel. Maybe it still thinks that you can't expand a RAID Z one drive at a time. I mean, technically, we're not in release yet, so it could say, I'm still right, you'd have to go to an early version of it. But I'm trying to think of like a particularly good or egregious example in a good, bad way where an LLM has just suggested to somebody to do a particular thing, and it's just wrong or, you know, possibly dangerous to your data.
When we played around with it early on, when we were testing things, one of the reasons that prompted us to go kind of build our own and train it with good TrueNAS docs was you would ask technical questions on things like ZFS. And of course, it's looking at all ZFS. So it's like sprinkling in stuff from like legacy ZFS on Solaris and other things that aren't necessarily true anymore, or maybe aren't relevant. Those could definitely steer you wrong, especially when you're getting down in the command line and asking those kind of deeper technical questions like, hey, I want to do this thing. And it's giving you commands that people are just kind of copying and pasting without understanding what the commands are actually going to do. That's where you can really get in trouble if you're not careful. So,
and that's something that's not necessarily limited to LLMs, is what we call some of the word of mouth or the tribal knowledge that was passed on for years upon years. We see some of it, like the old rules about, you know, you need a gigabyte of RAM for every terabyte of storage. And if you don't have that, then horrible things will happen. There's so many things with ZFS where it's a great deal of your mileage may vary. If you're just using a home system, I know I did this for the longest time. I had, you know, 8 gigs of RAM initially, went to 16, and I probably had way more than 16 terabytes on that system. But since it was one or two users, not accessing it for heavy workload, I was just using it to offload a digital camera, save my personal documents. You know, it was never going to cause any harm to it. But if I have, you know, 3 or 4 terabytes of virtual machines and I want them to run any faster than, you know, a pouring molasses out of a jar, I'm going to need a whole lot more RAM to it. I'm going to maybe want some SSDs in there for my L2 Arc. Maybe I'm going to want a log device too. And that's another thing that LLMs don't really understand is the complexities of how caching and transaction groups work in ZFS. Mm-hmm. So the challenge is it will often give you some very confident but very incorrect advice. The best thing really to do is, you know, come to our forums, you know, ask us on the podcast. We've explained it a couple times. I know I've jumped into guest spots on other YouTube videos with other content creators to say, you know, here's how these things actually work. And we're happy to explain it. We're happy to share the knowledge. We want everybody to be armed with this. It's not something we're trying to keep to ourselves.
Absolutely. I think one example was, of course, we publish like the minimum requirements. You mentioned the 8 gigs of RAM, a good example. Yeah. And the LLM may happily tell you, oh, yeah, that's all you need. But then I've seen folks like, oh, I also want to run 16 apps on my system. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, you have to stop and think about that a little bit. Those apps also have resource requirements. So come ask. If you don't know, ask. That's the correct thing to do. And always second guess a little bit some of the LLM responses. But again, one thing I wanted to tout is the if you go to truenas.com/docs, we have our AI-powered search on there. That is one where we've taken the time to train it specifically on our technical documentation, all the things about TrueNAS and some other sources that hopefully will give you a little bit better response than just hitting like generic ChatGPT. And one of the cool things, which I don't know if folks have noticed yet, is if you're a API developer or trying to script things with TrueNAS, is we did train it on all of the API documentation that we had available for current versions of TrueNAS. And of course, that's going to evolve over time. But what's really cool is you can indeed go ask programming questions and say, hey, I want to build a Golang program that can do XYZ with these TrueNAS APIs. Could you write that for me? And it'll happily go spit that out. So it's very useful. We use it here internally because it's great when you just need to do that kind of rapid scripting and in your language of choice, Python, Go, whatever.
Absolutely. With the introduction of Netdata back in Dragonfish, I'm actually seeing people in the community going, you know, hey, I want to be able to take these results that I'm pulling out of my TrueNAS system or systems with Netdata and then be able to send these commands back to it in an API to say, you know, maybe do periodic cleanup of snapshots less on a date manner and more on a, I want my TrueNAS to sit at about this percent full and have a sliding scale of how far back they want to preserve the data.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's for like NVRs or closed circuit TV footage, things like that, we get the whole gamut of people asking these questions. And sometimes it's, you know, it's not something I personally have experience with. So it's great to have the ability to, you know, have that bench strength, even if it's in the terms of the AI powered search to answer those, the API questions and utilization.
Well, just remember LLM responsibly. So if you get a script or if it generates something and you go post it on the forums, please identify that's where you got it from. So people know to take it with a grain of salt and maybe review a little more closely what this code or script might actually be doing.
Exactly. As a general rule of thumb, don't just pipe something into your shell unless you've read over it and you understand. If you see the words ZFS destroy anywhere in there, don't run that script.
Please.
Please don't.
Okay, I think I have one last thing on our list for today. This is a little shameless self-plug, but a couple of weeks ago, I went and took it upon myself to set up Tailscale on my own.
Shameless self-plugs are my job. I'm in the marketing department.
Oh, well, you know, I can wear a marketing hat too from time to time. Yeah. So I'm going to borrow your hat for a moment. But I have, of course, my own home TrueNASs that I run, and Alexandra in the office here turned me on to using Tailscale. I was like, oh, you should set that up on your TrueNAS. Give it a shot. So I did. I set it up and it was cool. And that led me to going and posting a guide on the forums under the resources section on how to set up Tailscale with TrueNAS and use Nginx Proxy Manager. And in my case, I use Cloudflare as my domain and DNS, and being able to kind of tie all that together so you can get like proper host names with valid certs and SSL and all that good stuff. So pretty cool. It's just neat, some of the cool things you can do these days. So basically, I can have all my apps hosted internally and no firewall ports open or up, none of that stuff anymore. It's quite nice.
And that's great. That's actually something I've been meaning to do myself, is because, of course, with the ever pervasive growth of storage capacity, everybody's always out taking photos on their phones, things like that. I'm trying to find a way to extend this out to my friends and family to say, you know, hey, if I've got triple digit terabytes of storage sitting in my house, I'm not going to fill them all myself. If you want to have a second backup source that maybe you're not going to have to pay a monthly fee to a cloud provider for, you know, why not set up something like, whether it's PhotoPrism or Image or something, give them that nice validated solution through Tailscale and Cloudflare D or another DNS provider, and say, hey, you know, my family can now back up their photos into my TrueNAS. They can access them remotely and securely.
Yeah, Image really is the killer app for us right now. I mean, we have 20, almost 5 years worth of family photos. And my wife and I, we take a lot of photos. We don't delete anything. So many, many terabytes, hundreds of thousands of photos at this point. And Image has just been a lifesaver, being able to self-host those, have them internally. My kids all have phones and we can have theirs back up too. It's quite nice. So definitely check it out if you're looking for a photo app. That'd be the one I recommend anyway. It's the current hotness.
Definitely. But I think it's really popular. We see a lot of talk about it on our community and, well, a lot of people using it.
Absolutely. And then the other one, of course, Vault Warden, because I don't know, I'm just paranoid. Got to host my own password manager.
Absolutely. Well, it's no good having a password manager if it's just a one-stop shop to get compromised.
Yeah, I think what scared me was I was using Bitwarden at one point and somebody, I don't know, found my email address and was trying to log in. I got all the failed attempts and I was like, that ain't me. So I think I'm going to bring this one back in-house. Anyway, okay. Well, good deal. So thank you for being with us today. Any closing thoughts, Chris? Otherwise, we'll let people get about the rest of their day and look forward to seeing them next week.
Yeah, I think just once again, if you have any questions, comments for us, something you want us to hear us talk about on the show, it's T3. So again, the letter T, number 3, at TrueNAS.com. Maybe we'll be posting threads about our podcast on the forums. You can probably find us there as well. And you could submit a question through that way and we'll put them in queue. We'll see what people want to talk about. Maybe we'll work by order. Maybe we'll work by volume. If, you know, 20 people want to hear the same thing, we're probably going to address it on the show. But, you know, we'll have to take it as it goes. As Chris says, it's our first week. So we'll see what we'd have doing.
You know how you always look back at the first episode of any new show and you're like, man, that was rough. So I'm sure we'll look back at this at some point and say the same thing. But hey, you got to start somewhere. It's always crawl, walk, run.
This was our pilot.
This was our pilot. And we were excited to get this done and share this with you. And frankly, just excited to celebrate that we're just about at the finish line with the .0 of Electric Eel, which isn't really a finish line because now then we got to do the .1 and then the .2. But, you know.
The journey has begun now.
Absolutely. So happy upgrading, everybody, when you see this. Again, don't be shy. Hop on the forums. Drop us an email. Love to answer your questions and hopefully be talking to you more soon.